Good morning. Hello, everybody. I haven't got my mouth. Hey, it's my computer. That's okay. I'll just put it right here. Nobody touch it. So over the last week, I had a cold, and it's kind of fizzling out, but you know how it likes to linger onto the last part? And it's just like, no. So it's trying to attack my voice, but I will make it through. So it's gonna be good. If not, you know, then we'll just have personal quiet time. I'll just go down there and be like, and they're having time with God right now because I can no longer talk. But my name is Micah Turnbow. So if we have not met, hello everybody. I do pastor the prophetic ministry here, and I love that. My dad was playing the bass, and my sister was singing, so I have a pretty talented family. And my other sister who dances over here, she's the one with the network of children that run around, so they have 12. 12, yeah, and they have 12, thank you. They have 12, so it's pretty cool. I mean, I love having so many nieces and nephews that I get to be around, and they think I'm the coolest. Christmas, however, is tricky because I'm like, oh, I don't have all this money for you guys, you know. So the little ones are like, yay! You just take an old present that they don't remember and just wrap it up and be like, yay! So, well, the title of my message today is, or the question where I'm going to try and answer, is what is a prophet exactly? And the reason why I want to talk about that, because you've heard us say things quite a bit here, you know, if you receive the prophet in the name of the prophet, then you get the prophet's reward. And some of you are probably like, what does that even mean? Okay, and that's a good question to ask, and I love it that we get to talk about it, because what I want to do is I want to approach it with humility, but also as clearly as possible, and to present to you how you are being blessed by a prophet and how you also bless a prophet. It actually goes both ways. And a lot of times, prophets who come in to, who, you know, we got the whole cloud syndrome thing where the prophets come in on a cloud and they give a prophetic word and then they just disappear and they go away. That works sort of, but you're not really receiving the magnitude of the blessing the prophet is giving to the body, and the prophet is not even able to receive a blessing from the body. Okay? So my goal is to say, hey, it's cool if you are a prophet, no big deal. I mean, that's awesome. It's the same as a pastor or a teacher. I mean, they're servants. It's not one is better than the other. And what the problem, why there's a problem in the whole role of the prophet, and why the enemy attacked it. There's a reason why Satan targeted it, because the prophet presents something that is greater than their ability to prophesy. Now listen, when you raise up prophetic communities in a church, you're going to raise up prophets, okay? And when it's a circle effect. If you start a prophetic community, you're going to end up raising up prophets. If you bring in a prophet, if you have a prophet that's in the church, naturally, they will start a prophetic community, okay? It's this beautiful circle, that gets to that is developed. So a prophet does three things, I believe, okay? Now, some of you think, oh yeah, one of it is they prophesy. Well, actually, that's probably maybe 10% of their ministry, okay? It's 10% of it is actually prophesying. If I go to a church and I find the prophet prophesying more than the people, then we have a problem, okay? And I'll say that again. If I go to a ministry and I see that a prophet is prophesying more than the people, then we have a problem. Also, if I go to a ministry and I see a church organization or ministry that is trying to develop a prophetic ministry and they do not give room for the prophet to speak into it, that's a problem. Okay? I have been in church ministries where the prophet isn't leading the prophetic ministry. And there's reasons for that, because there is this fear that of offense. There's a fear of offense. And if I find that a prophet is prophesying and not giving room for the body to prophesy, not equipping the body to prophesy, then there is a pride issue in the prophet. Because the prophet is a servant to the body. That means that they are, if you are a prophet, you should be the first person to lay your life down on the floor. Okay? So a prophet does three things, or they have three questions that they want to ask. Is the body of Christ, number one, is the body of Christ having God encounters? Okay? And you might be realizing, oh, that's why Micah talks about God encounters. Right. Micah doesn't talk about God encounters to get an applause. He can care less about the applause. The prophet presents themselves as a gift to you, saying, this life of God encounters is available to you. So the things that I am sharing to you about supernatural stuff, yes, it's like, woo, way out there. And that's the wild part. That's the part that can be offending to you, because what it does is it attacks a complacent heart. Okay? It attacks a heart that's just saying, I don't want all that. Or I'm just satisfied. So we offend that area. And say, hey, look, there's way more. And a lot of times we want to blame, the prophet says, they challenge you saying, you want to blame God because God is boring. And it's like, no, God isn't boring. The problem is you. Amen. Okay? It's you. Because God made everything available to you. So the prophet just says, hey, I know you're sitting there saying, oh, well, God, no, you. Okay, you. So we offend. We can offend. Now, prophets in the room and online everywhere, please be kind and gentle. And if you're going to be wild, make sure it's real. Seriously. If you're going to be wild, if you're going to be weird, I don't mind being weird. I know I'm weird. Look at my hair. Okay? I got these things. You see me wearing my capes and stuff. I love it. I don't mind being weird. But it's a genuine weirdness. And if it's a genuine weirdness, they'll be all right. All right? But sometimes the prophet is just being weird because there's so much pain and hurt in them. Okay, that they hide behind the weirdness. And then they say, well, I'm just weird, because they don't want to actually have accountability, is one. They don't want accountability. And they don't want the people to challenge them. Because they have this mindset that is, well, if I am speaking from God, if I saw the Lord, these God encounters that I have, if I have had these encounters, I'm presenting them to you, you can't correct me. You can't correct me. You can't tell me I'm wrong. You can't this. You can't challenge. You can't that. And so that puts a wedge in between the people and the prophet. But a healthy prophet is willing to be examined before the people. Look, we have prophets all the time come through our prophetic school, some good ones and some that are like, All right? And you know me, I do not play, like I said, I know I'm weird, but I do not play the let's be weird, start a trend thing. Let's be wild and for the sake of being wild. You know, and I don't play all that. It's going to be real, it's going to be real. We have his students come in all the time who approach me and tell me, you know, I'm a prophet. And I'll just straight up tell them, I said, that's great. To who? To who? Listen, if you are an apple tree, and people come to taste the apples, they'll tell you. Amen. You don't have to prove nothing to nobody. Apples taste like apples. They do. And so the first thing I look at is, you know, when people tell me that, I look at what the other people are saying around them. So yes, you do need people in your life to be a prophet. Otherwise, you're just a prophet to yourself. So a prophet releases God encounters. They release that God is impacting the earth right now. He is ready for God encounters. You hear me talk about heaven and God and the realness of it all the time, because I want you to remember that he is real, that you don't have to wait to heaven to encounter him. Okay? Heaven is here. Okay, heaven is here. The false prophets would tell you all the time, you know, that you need to get rid of all of your, you know, physical body and float, you know, and be, you know, only have spirit, be your spiritual body. I like to tell people, if Jesus kept his earthly body, then it must be pretty important. Okay, just a freebie there. Don't listen to those who are always like, get out of your body. You need it. Jesus kept his. Got a new one, but he still has it. Still has the holes in his hand. The light shoots out of it. God encounters. Number two is they ask the question, are the people walking in the holiness that Jesus gave them? Okay? Now what the weird immature prophets would do is they don't want to get you to focus on sin. What are you doing wrong? They're doing this wrong. You've committed this sin. Oh, San Francisco's going in the sea. You know, all this stuff. It's unbelievable things I hear. When you're in the prophetic community around some of these prophets, it's like, what? God has no intention on sinking San Francisco. Okay? He did enough of that with floods. And by the way, you know, when all that stuff in Revelation, however it turns out, what it's going to look like, you know, there won't be any prophets saying, that it will be seen. Okay? Just so you know. So they encourage us, are we walking in the holiness that Jesus gave us? So instead of us prophesying into sin, we prophesy into hearts that are regenerating. We prophesy that there is repentance. There is a new way. There is, you know, the blood of Jesus, all those things. One of my favorite things is when Jesus said to the woman in the sand, go and sin no more. I love that. I wish more prophets actually prophesied that. That means Jesus had an expectation like, look, you can have a completely different life now. I want prophets to now say, look, you can have, there's a new way of living right now. And so instead, that our hearts are turned to what Jesus did, and not on what we have to do. It's on what Jesus did. So we encourage, look, the holiness that's available to you, you can walk in. Now, again, that can be a little offensive because it says that, again, it's not God who has the problem, it's you, because everything is available. One of my favorite passages is Ephesians 1:3, you know, every spiritual blessing according to Christ Jesus, he's everything. Everything that is Jesus is now yours. And so the prophet reminds us of that. That everything Jesus, I remember I had this encounter with Jesus, and I remember asking him, I said to him, I said, what do you mean everything? Like, can you tell me what that means when you say every spiritual blessing and heavenly places? Like, what does that mean? And Jesus smiled and he said, I literally mean everything. And I said, oh, like you weren't kidding. He said, I mean everything. That means everything, everything good, the goodness all in me, I now put inside you. He said, it's just now you remembering what's there. And he says, and that's why, Micah, I love the prophets now. He said, that's why prophets that are up there now, you know, Moses and Elijah and all of them, they're up there. But I had a conversation with Moses one day where he said, look, you are alive at a really amazing time. And I said, why? And he said, because when I was prophesying, I wasn't talking to regenerative hearts. He says, you are. He said, you get to actually see the Spirit of God inside someone. He said, you get to experience the Spirit of God in you. He said, I only felt him upon me. He says, but you get to experience inside you, and you get to encourage other people that, hey, the Spirit, the same measure that was in Christ Jesus is in you. Amen. You get to say that now. And then he said to me, he said, there's a reason why I said, oh, in Deuteronomy before Moses, you know, left, he said, oh, that all of you would be like the Lord's prophets. Moses was saying that all of you would be face to face with God. People think it's prophecy, but the life of a prophet is a friend to God. Amen. And so a prophet encourages you and says, hey, you are God's friend. You are God's friend, and friends talk to each other face to face just because that's what they do. So when Moses told me that, I said, oh my gosh, it really has changed. It really has changed. It's better. This is much better. So are we walking in the holiness of God, the holiness God gave you? We don't cry out and say, oh God, make us holy. Okay, we don't need to do that anymore. Okay? Especially if you believe in Jesus and he's in you, you don't need to sit there and say, oh God, make us holy. You don't need to do that anymore. Now the prophet encourages you and says, hey, you are holy. Walk in it. Hey, you are holy. Walk in it. Jesus said to me, he said, sin does not have to be your identity anymore. He said, Micah, this is why it's important for you to know who I am and to know my love for the people. I met a prophet one time who came into class and they were upset at me, which I don't care, but they were upset at me, and then they said, you know, you're always talking about this lovey-dovey God. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his word. That's one of my favorite verses. Listen, I have no problem receiving kisses from Jesus. I do not, and I tell people, if you have a problem with him, oh well. But when you get there and he gives you one, you'll be first in line for another. So I just don't argue with people about it, because I'm just like, you're going to get one. You're going to get one regardless, and you're going to love it, okay? You're going to love it. That's one of my favorite verses, is let him kiss with the kiss of his word. So this person was just upset at me, and then said, you're always talking about this lovey-dovey. You're going, well, what about God's anger? What about God's wrath? What about, you know, why don't you prophesy God's wrath and his anger? And what about sin and all this stuff, all the injustice done? What about the judgment? And I was like, oh, well. What was odd, I was sitting there listening to him, and I said, I mean, first of all, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, you're unhappy, but that's okay, and just move on. But when the Holy Spirit said in my right ear, he said, oh, why don't you, let's talk about that. I said, okay. So I go home, and I said, yeah, Lord. I said, I mean, what is... If you want to talk about it, Jesus, I said, what is the judgment? You know, what is it? And then the Holy Spirit chuckled. And he said, let me get my notes here. And I want to give it to you the way he... He said, here is... the judgment. God sent his only son. Behold, God makes all things new. There is a better way. Now you all can have face-to-face relationship with God. Jesus is the door to true freedom, love, joy, peace. Now you can destroy the works of the devil. Christ in you has overcome every evil work. And I was just like, oh, huh? And then the Holy Spirit said, that's the judgment. That's the justice. I thought, oh my goodness. Prophet, you want to prophesy judgment so bad? There it is. That was God's decision. That's what he chose to do, was to send Jesus. Why isn't that good enough? Why isn't that good enough? I am here to remind you the judgment, justice, whatever you want to call it, that is poured out. You get all these wonderful blessings now. So I went back to the angry prophet in our class, and I said, okay, so, and I told him, so this is what the Lord's doing. This is what the Lord's pouring out. And he got mad. He got angry. That's unacceptable. And then, now I do not recommend you do this, but then this came up. Sometimes prophets, we get a little bit of prophetitis, okay? That's what I like to call it, which is like where we just suddenly we get like, roar, you know? And so I was just like, I could feel it inside me. And again, I don't recommend you do this, but I pointed at him, my finger nearly touched his nose, and I said, Satan! I called him Satan. And I said, get away from me. You are not focusing on the things of God, but of man. And he And he backed away. Which brings me into the third thing that a prophet does. A prophet equips the body to destroy the works of the devil. In a special, unique way, in their flavor, they bring an awareness of counterfeit supernatural activity. There is an increase of supernatural activity on the earth, good and bad. And so what the prophet does is they say, that's good, that's bad. This is how you tell the difference. And so what we do, it's like if you are in the prophetic, it's like when you smell really bad poop. We're just very sensitive to it. Like, it's like, oh. Now, everybody can smell doo-doo, right? Everybody can. But to a prophet, it's like, oh, oh my gosh. We're very dramatic because we need to be in that area. It's like a times 20 for us. And God created us to be that way, so that way we could say, don't go after that. This is the real thing here. Don't accept that. Let's accept this. One of the things that's starting to pop up now, if some of you might be kind of aware of this, you might not be, but I'll say it, is this whole third eye thing. Okay? This is ridiculous. You even got some prophets now prophesying the third eye junk. Okay? And I started to prophesy against that. No, that is not the Holy Spirit. The eyes of our heart are open. But this whole third eye junk, that is a counterfeit. And so I started to get slammed by some other prophets. Oh, you're just in this religious da-da-da-da-da. And I said, Lord, you gotta show me what this thing is. Until, lo and behold, not my choice, a demon slithered up right in front of my face. And he said, you better stop telling them that this isn't real. If you stop, we'll leave you alone. I'm like, you're a devil. Of course I'm not going to believe that. You're bored. That's all you'd like to do is hit people. That's a lie. Anyway, if you stop, we'll leave you alone. So what did I do? I laughed at him. And then I turned on my PlayStation 4. I was just like... So this must mean that you're hurt right now, because I'm ruining your ministry, old devil. Demons attack the prophetic one reason. Because every time the church operates in the prophetic, it brings order, not only in the earth, but in the spiritual realm. When you are operating, all of you, this is why we want you guys to take these CSSM and SOPM and these things that that encourage prophetic ministry, because when you are doing that, you're putting order in the spiritual realm. You're putting order in the spiritual realm. What do I mean by that? I mean that angels actually get equipped when you just take that leap of faith, when you take that risk. Did you know that? There's billions and billions of angels around. Everybody take your left hand and your right hand and go like this. Okay, you see, that's real. There's no question that you have a right hand and a left hand, right? Let's believe that about the spiritual realm. It's just as tangible as your hands. When you clap them together, it's just as tangible. Now, when you are prophesying, you actually release order in the spiritual realm. Angels get equipped. They get weapons by you taking risks. Easy peasy. And you're probably just like, and you walk back like, oh, I didn't really feel God's anointing on that one when you released thousands of the host in heaven. I've seen it. I've watched how words I gave, and I'm like, I didn't really know what I was saying about that one. Oh. I didn't really feel anointed on that one. Your feelings do not matter, and they don't need to matter for you to release the glory. Seriously, I love feelings. Now, don't get me wrong. I love to feel. Prophetic people are feelers, so we were made that way, to be feelings. But it's not, just because you don't feel it doesn't mean things aren't released. Okay? I watched a whole host of heaven be released because I gave a word that I didn't really feel anointed in. Word says, bless you, his angels, who obey the voice of the Lord, who do his word. And in the context of how you operate with the supernatural in the spiritual realm is that when you are in relationship with God, this is why I encourage you to be in relationship with God, why prophets encourage you to be in relationship with God. When you do that, angels who only obey his voice, God's voice, recognize it in you. They say, oh, that sounds like, this is me, you know, drama, I'm acting it out. You know, ooh, I hear God. And that word empowers them. I've watched some of you in here practice giving words to each other. When we, you know, when we come here, it says, no, you know, we encourage you to prophesy. Guys, please believe in what you're saying and doing. I've watched it. I've watched this whole room fill with angels. Some of them come in bigger than you, and they listen. And then when you say amen, or does that make sense, that angel grew in just this might and fierceness. And then they're released to that person. So it looks like a room of angels crossing, going to be with that one going to be with that one, and that one going to be with that one, because they're carrying that prophetic word. And what they do is they minister that word to that person for the rest of the time they're here. It's amazing. It's amazing. When you're giving somebody a prophetic word, yes, the Holy Spirit comes on them, but then the angels of the Lord go home with that person. And they minister to them. And you're like, I felt kind of weird. Don't feel that way no more. Or the demons. To them, it looks like fire coming out of your mouth. And their bones and their fingers crack. And then they let go off the person. Y'all, deliverances happen all the time. It's not always like The Exorcist, okay? Deliverances are a good thing. Seriously, let's get rid of the, stop watching the horror crap, all right? The only reason why the demons came out with that is so that way you get scared of being free. Oh, I hope I don't have a demon. Listen, if you have one, go get rid of it so you can be happy. Seriously. So you can just go be happy. There's no, it's not. Everybody thinks that they're going to walk down the steps backwards and you know. I've had some demons do that. I told them to stop. I told them, don't you throw up on my carpet. I don't want to clean it up. And they stopped. This is how we're going to do this. I told them, this is how we're going to do this. And I know I got authority. And I don't want to clean up puke. I said, you can come out three ways. You can come out by a toot, a burp, or you just walk on out. This is how we're going to do it. I had a client in my office, and that happened. You know, he came in, and he said he had a devil, and he knew my name. And I said, well, a lot of them do. You know, then he started manifesting, and eyes went all back up in his head. And I said, stop. I don't have time for that. No. I said, no. So this is what we're going to do. Because I know I am a son of God, and the words that come from my mouth bring order. So I'm going to use it. I'm not going to just sit there and be passive like, no. Some of you might not care, but I do. So I'll let you know that is an option if you don't want to clean up puke. Anyway, to the devils, yeah, it hurts them. And things come off. And then the angels of the Lord will come in with these bags and take them somewhere. Or I saw one angel had a whole staff of all of them were packed on it. The demons were packed on it. And the angel was whistling. He was standing right in the center of the room. And he was just whistling. And the other angels would take these. We had a deliverance class here. And listen, some of you up here who do that and you expect to hear all this, all that kind of stuff, don't worry about it. Don't let that be the way you measure it. Okay? Like, stuff was going on. And it was nice and calm and peaceful. People were just walking out of here. Probably barely knew what happened until the next day. But yeah, the angel's sitting right there. We were prophesying in this class in here, and then the angels would take the devils and they would stack them on like a shish kebab on the on the angel with the staff, and he was rocking on his heels whistling. And then when we had finished, he left. You're probably like, what? The spiritual realm's like that? Yes, it really is. It can be. Okay. So again, I'm going to say these three things. And I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to be done. Because my voice is going out. All right. So one, a prophet is asking the question, are the people of God having God encounters? Number two, are the people of God walking in the holiness Jesus gave them? And three, are the people of God destroying the works of the devil? Let's all stand, and I will pray for you. And again, if you feel like you're called to be a prophet, congratulations. That's awesome. We want them. We need more of them. We need more of them. We have quite a bit in this building. And if you're not, bless you. That's awesome. So, Lord, I just think, if you want, you can put your hand in the receiving position on your heart, however. So, Lord, I just bless the people of God, Lord, with deeper God encounters, rich God encounters. Lord, I bless the people to walk in the holiness that you paid for them, that they have the chance to walk in. Thank you that they are holy. Thank you for your blood. And Lord, I thank you that they will walk out of here destroying the works of the devil, that they will make hell terrified, that they would be like the horror movie to the demons. Lord, I thank you that they are equipped with power at the fullest to do the works of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.